Well, good morning. It's Thursday, and that means it's time for Perspectives on WFSU Public Media. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for tuning in our direction on the radio. And before we get underway, a reminder, you are always more than welcome to be part of the conversation, wherever and however that may lead, via phone and email. Our number on the phone, 850-414-1234. Perspectives@WFSU.org is the email in case you'd like to communicate that way. And what we're going to talk about this morning is a great new newspaper that just came out here in Gadsden County. It's called the Gadsden County Gazette. Now, we've had the Havana Herald. We've had the Gadsden County Times. We still have old legacy papers like the Tallahassee Democrat and all that. But the Gazette is a different kind of animal because it focuses on education, what's going on at it. Gadsden County High, and what is happening as far as some other changes in the community are concerned. And it's those changes we're going to tap into today on Perspectives. And first, let's go around the table and meet our panel. First, we'll start with Maria Giolio, who is, and I hope I got that right. I got the little...
Diolio.
Okay, I want to make sure there's a little gap between the D and the O on that, Maria. Language Department Chair at Gadsden High. It is so great to have you here. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me today. Thanks.
We have Monica Grimaldo, Panhandle Area Education Forum.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me here today.
It is so great to have you here. And sort of our partner in crime in assembling this multitude is John Nagowski, the instructor in English and journalism also at the aforementioned Gadsden County High. And for old-time Tallahasseans, I used to read your sports columns in the Democrat so many years ago, John.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
It is great to have you here. Well, you first bridged the idea of putting together this panel and talking about the changes in population and demographics and the ever-growing diversity of the population, particularly at Gadsden County High, but also all over Gadsden County. So kind of where did that idea come popping up from?
Well, you know, I've taught at the school for about 10 years, and I've gradually seen our Hispanic population kind of grow over that time. And it's been kind of interesting and kind of exciting in a lot of ways because I think, you know, it's just bringing a different culture to our school. And I got to meet Maria last year, and we got to talking about it, how some of the Hispanic students didn't sort of feel included maybe as much as we would like. And I thought, well, you know, maybe something I can do is something in the newspaper, our Gadsden County Gazette that you mentioned. So Maria and I came up with the idea of the Latin Corner, where we would run a story in Spanish and, you know, just something for the Hispanic community to kind of feel like, you know, ownership. And so we kind of started there, and then Maria came up with the wonderful idea of the Culture Exchange Program, which, you know, I talked with you about, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, today. And that was just a wonderful thing to just try to get everybody, you know, on the same page. You know, diversity is our country. That's why we have a country. And I think it's really important. And it's been fun. I think it's really made a big difference in our school.
Well, that diversity now, let's talk in kind of quantifiable terms here. Maria, as far as the population of Gadsden High, how many students are of Hispanic origin right now in the whole population?
We find out that there's about a 20% at the school who are from Hispanic, you know, the Hispanic population, about 20% of the students there.
Wow, and that is such a big change, especially over the last generation or so. And we have seen, I guess, Maria, or Monica, I'm sorry, if we could get you into the conversation here too. Most of these children are children of migrant farm workers, or where exactly did they come from?
No, we have different groups. We have the immigrant group that come in and that make Gadsden County their home base. And then we have migrants, which only come within a certain amount of time, and they stay here for 2 months, and then they move on. Some migrants will stay the whole year, but it's a handful of them. The others will leave following the crops. So, but we do have immigrants coming and making Gadsden County their home base.
Yeah, so it's not the children of migrant farm workers. Typically, those folks don't bring the entire family group along with them.
They do, but they only stay with a certain amount of time. The most, it'll be 2 months, and then they'll move on. But some of the work, the immigrants that we do have, some parents do work in nurseries and farm work, but they stay here. They don't leave.
Ah, okay. So they become permanent residents then. John Nagowski, we have seen, again, the makeup of population all over the country changing over the years. But in Gadsden, I remember when my family moved down here in the late 70s, particularly the demographics were still predominantly African American, the folks who perhaps families who had been previously enslaved and were still part of the population when it came to agriculture and some of the industry right there. But the power structure was still predominantly the old line white families. You remember that Coca-Cola money
right.
that fueled so much of the county's economic development
right.
back in the
There's
day.
There's still that ad in downtown Quincy mm-hmm. for Coca-Cola. Still
yeah.
there.
It's still there. But the power structure has changed dramatically since then.
Yeah, it really has. And, you know, I think it's an exciting time because, you know, change is something that's going to happen. So why fight it? And I think at our school, we've really kind of embraced that. You know, it was a big move for us last year to combine the West Gadsden students with the East Gadsden students. And, you know, classroom sizes got bigger. And, you know, we had a lot of kids that we hadn't really seen as ninth graders or 10th graders or whatever. But I think it's been fun, and it's been a really good year for us. And Maria's event, I think, was really special. I really enjoyed seeing the diversity and all these different kids, you know, who kind of knew each other, but they hadn't really seen each other dance or they hadn't seen each other sing or whatever. And, you know, there was a lot of good food there, and I think everybody really had a good time, and we need more events like that.
Well, if you want to get people together, throw a party, and Maria, talk about that
give
party.
Them food.
What was that like?
I'm new to Gadsden County comparatively because I've been here since basically September 2017. I have been a teacher for about 14 years, but I'm new to Gadsden County. I'm a Spanish teacher, first and foremost, for foreign languages, which I love. You know, I just love my duty as a teacher. I come from Miami-Dade. I lived there several years. And then I moved on to Pinellas County. So I taught there for about 12 years. And then I come to Gadsden County, and it's kind of a cultural shock, you know, for me. You know, a city girl, kind of, you know, urban. But we love it up here. My husband and I, when we made the decision to move to northern Florida, we said Gadsden. And, you know, I live in West Tallahassee, but I love teaching at Gadsden County High School.
Oh, that is
really
terrific.
Do.
But you put together then an event to really celebrate the cultural diversity and
yes.
and to also be a learning experience for some kids maybe who weren't quite
exactly
plugged into
well,
that.
Well, let me tell you that our message... Okay, the reason why we're doing this, our message is one of celebrating our differences and our shared values together, okay? It's not a competition between the groups or anything like that. It's only, you know, one of putting multiculturalism in the forefront in order to encourage all groups within our community to openly communicate. That's what multiculturalism is all about. That's what diversity is all about. You know, to communicate together about what makes us different and what makes us the same, you know, from a humanistic point of view.
Those differences, though, may be even deeper than many people realize. And maybe, Monica, you can give us some insight in here. So many Anglos, and I lived in South Texas for a while, and that's where we were. We were Anglos, mm-hmm. and it was a predominantly Hispanic population. But we quickly found out that you cannot say Hispanic as a block of people. You have Central American folks, and folks from El Salvador are different from folks from Guatemala, are different from folks certainly from Mexico. And these are cultural differences within that homogenous group. Do we have that in Gadsden County, too?
Yes, we do. And you can call Hispanics, it's fine. It's usually they all say we're all Mexican, and that's where we get confused because we all look Mexican, but we do have Salvadorians and Guatemalans and Hondurians, and we have different, like you said, different cultures, different ways of doing things, saying things.
And it really then becomes, that's a great learning experience too, because many of these folks grew up in homogenous groups, and a kid from Guatemala is going to see the world maybe in a very different way
very
from
different
a kid.
Way. And as a Latina, as a Latino myself, I can tell you that, you know, a Mexican, if confused with a Puerto Rican, they're not going to like that, you know. And many people, when they think Latino, they have a certain idea in their head about what a Latino looks like, you know. So Mexicans don't like being called Puerto Ricans, and vice versa. And at our school, we do have Salvadorians, you know, and Salvadorians like to be, you know, considered Mexicans, you know. So everybody has their own nationality, you know, in their heart. You know, as a Latino community, we come together, and, you know, Hispanic is Hispanic, but, you know, we still have that little part of us that are, you know.
We may have a common language, but boy, we got a lot of other differences here too. But we can celebrate those as well.
Exactly. And in the classroom, you know, the impact that I saw is just that, you know, many of our Gadsden County kids, you know, haven't been out of Gadsden County a lot. One of the things that hurts them on standardized tests is background knowledge and things like that, where we have, you know, many of our students that come in now that are Hispanic students, you know, they've been other places, they've lived other places, so they bring in completely different experiences. So, you know, as we're teaching the different things we do, whether it's Hamlet or Macbeth or whatever it is, you know, they all have different ways of looking at this. So, you know, to me, it's an enriching experience really for everybody, including for me. You know, it's been really fun to just see kids' different takes on things, and their, you know, our value systems, of course, are all different. So it's been really kind of interesting. And, you know, I think everybody gets better. That's kind of the name of the game.
Welcome to Gadsden International High School.
Yeah. Well, Maria was talking to this morning on the way over here. She was telling about how one of her Hispanic students really had kind of an emotional reaction at the event. You need to talk about
that. Oh, okay. Yes. Hold that thought here. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about that. And can't wait to hear that story, Maria, right here on Perspectives. And we invite your input to the conversation as well. 850-414-1234. Or you can zap us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. Diversity in Greater Gadsden County. We'll be right back. We are back on Perspectives and talking about cultural diversity in Gadsden County. And I really got to throw in a plug here for the Gadsden County Gazette. And John Nagowski, you got yourself here a great publication. It is very people-centered, and I love the stories. If you can just tell stories, that is 90% of journalism as far as I'm concerned. Speaking of stories, you can find lots of them on WFSU.org, and that is where we archive all of our past Perspectives programs. You can just go to our website, click on radio. There's a local program submenu, and from that you find Perspectives. Hit that, and within 24 hours of when you hear one of the programs on the radio, we'll have it up online for you so you can go back to listen to it again and again. Maria DiOlio, we were just about to tap your story here of a particular student you wanted to share with us.
The night of the cultural event, that was May the 2nd, I stayed with two students who were waiting for their ride home, and around 9 o'clock at night, and I asked them, so what did you think? And these two students are Latinos. And I asked them, so what did you think of the event tonight? And they were just praising it. You know, everybody had a very good, positive thing to say about it. But what got me about one of the students that night, he said, you know, Mrs. DiOlio, I don't really think about these things all the time. When I'm talking about these things about his heritage, I don't really think about it much. But tonight, when I saw my friends dancing on stage, it really made me emotional. Okay? And this is, and I asked him, well, why did you get emotional? And he says, because I don't see this. I don't see this connection with the community. I don't see my heritage being represented that often. And I realized that he just made a connection with his heritage that night. This is a Mexican-American student, somebody who was born here, but he has not seen this. So that brought to my attention that, not only to my attention, I also have to say about how we came up with this at school, because it's not, this is not just me. This is a lot of people coming together. But it brought to my attention that night that this is badly needed at our school. This is badly needed.
And, you know, high school kids, especially boys, are not prone to bearing their souls about many things.
No.
So for him to come out with that, you know, that had some impact. And, you know, just seeing the kids practicing and all the different things. I remember one of the students in my class, Marilyn Mejia, just this little tiny little Hispanic girl who's adorable. And she says, oh, what are we going to do now? We won't be practicing every day. I like that so much. And I said, well, maybe you need to start a dance club. Oh, I didn't think of that. You know, so who knows?
Another creative outlet for that. And,
yeah.
and again, to reconnect with culture. And how do you get all the kids? Because there is, let's face it, everyone has a fear of the other and the unknown and all that. But to get, especially maybe some of the kids whose families had been in Gadsden County, John, white kids, you know, for years and years and years, to say, hey, to appreciate your culture in Mexico or Guatemala or one of those places is not anti-American. It can be part of this big whole, you know, we celebrate St. Patrick's Day and no one gets bent out of shape.
Right, right.
You know, how do we do that and make it more inclusive than perhaps it already is?
Well, you know, I think that's a really important thing. And I try to do that in a lot of the different things that I've done in my classroom, even with music, for example. One of the things, like playing the Beatles music, I said one of the great things about their music was it was inclusive. They wanted everybody to listen to it, adults as well as the kids. And and you could see that. And I played the video, All You Need Is Love, which they filmed in the studio, and they had people walking around with signs in all different languages. And I said, this is their point. This is what they're trying to do. I said, this is what our country is. I mean, this is what they're trying to do. It's about everybody. That's why we have a country, right? I mean, we have a Statue of Liberty, you know, bring us, you're tired, you're poor. I mean, that's kind of what this is all about. And I think, you know, my students, I think, really kind of embrace that. So they were eager to see, you know, what these students from other countries had to say, or maybe some of the kids from Gadsden County that had never seen this or heard this. You know, they were eager to share their stories and their interpretations and things like that. You know, some of the stories that they wrote about the effects of Hurricane Michael, you know, where our school was a shelter. So a lot of kids, you know, that I taught were actually at the shelter for those 3 days or 4 days, whatever it ended up being. So they had to see kids from other cultures and things like that, and they shared their stories. And it was a really learning experience, and that's what you want.
Yeah. Monica, what are some of the other challenges that folks have when you have relocated from a country where you were born, where you were raised, you come to another land that you have some language situations to deal with, certainly other cultural things. You may be looked down upon. There's all kinds of families that come here that they're facing an awful lot of challenges, aren't they?
Not only the language barriers, but the customs, what they're used to, what we're used to, how things are done there. And sometimes it might not be seen well how we do things here. They have a lot of trouble adjusting at times. Not only the food, transportation, just family. Now they might be closer to family now, and they left family behind. So they just have a hard time adapting.
Yeah, and for those of us who maybe have always been kind of in the same, at least cultural place, maybe not geographic place, but you always have people around you who speak the same language and kind of do the same thing and eat the same foods and all, as you said, to go totally to another place.
It's
in
scary.
Hopes of bettering your life.
Livelihood, yes. Yeah. It's scary. It's very scary.
Which is why at the school, my colleague, Mr. Christopher Rodier, we are the only two Spanish teachers in the county, we realized that the need of a multicultural club existed. And that's how we started recruiting students. 26 students signed up. Most of them were Latino students and some African-American. And before we started talking about making a cultural event, we set this up we wanted to do this back last year, you know, to celebrate in October, but because the hurricane, we couldn't. We were going to call it at our Hispanic Heritage Night. But I'm kind of glad that it's a good thing that we didn't do that back then, because it gave us the opportunity to plan differently the second time around. One of our assistant principals back in January brought to our attention that a homegrown student organization had formed at the school, and they called themselves the Breaking Down Barriers Club. And what do they do is that they want to educate. This is two girls. As a matter of fact, they're juniors. The founders, their names are Cameron Richardson and Tiffany Swackard. Okay, and they're juniors. And this is something they realized, that the need exists at the school to talk about racial awareness. So what we did was we brought together the students from the Multicultural Club who had signed up. And we also brought together the students from the Breaking Down Barriers. And this is how the cultural event surfaced. We empowered the students to do this together. Okay, and they put it together, and it was just a beautiful thing to see.
Oh, it was not a top-down kind of situation.
Nope, this was all student-driven.
And I think that's important, too. That's what we really try to do with the newspaper, too, is I give them a few story ideas here and there, but often it'll be, you know, what do you think we should write about? What should we cover? A lot of times with some of the kids, you know, I'll have them write columns, and I'll just say, okay, we practice it and so on. I'll say, okay, write a column. And, you know, one of my Hispanic students writes about guns in school. Should teachers have guns? I didn't tell her to do that. She just came up with that on her own. Rosie Cruz, another girl, Jennifer Arroyo, came up with bullying. I mean, this is on their own. And, you know, as a teacher, you're proud as can be. You know, these are topics everybody's talking about. And for a kid to just have the initiative to sit down and do it and write a thoughtful commentary on that, I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah, well, they know their audience and what the other kids are talking about and how to address that in this kind of a situation. I guess we'll have to do this, Maria. How many of the white kids, though, are learning Spanish now? Is there more of an acceptance of that? Hey, if we want to talk to some of our other friends here, we need to know some words in their language.
Again, remember the demographics in our high school. It's 80% African American and about 19% Latinos. And you have a very small 1-2% Caucasian. So you have, you know, one thing that when I said about cultural shock, it's that I've come to a school where minority groups are the ones that make up the school, you know, so
majority minority. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so that was interesting for me to see. I mean, it's just beautiful. And the fact that these students realize that they have to or they want to get to know each other better. Like I said, it comes from them, Cameron and Tiffany creating this homegrown Breaking Down Barriers Club. It's because they want to get to know their neighbors. They want to talk among themselves and learn together. What makes us the same? What makes us different? You know, again, like I said earlier, it's not a competition. Let's work together. Let's get to know what's going on out there with racial awareness, you know, what we can do to change our community.
And maybe did that cause some additional, I guess, linkages amongst the kids? Because if you have a lot of African-American kids who were a marginalized community for so long. Here's another group of kids.
Who feel marginalized now.
They got something in common here.
Exactly.
And you see that. And, you know, that's one of the things that I think we've really tried to reinforce in the school is having them working in small groups sometimes, or even assigning stories like for the newspaper or whatever. Where you're kind of crossing cultures and on purpose, and everybody benefits from it, especially, you know, the stories coming out in the newspaper and things that get talked around school and so on. I mean, it's really fun to see. And, you know, every school has their problems, and sure, we do too. But, geez, there's a lot of really good things, a lot of really good kids, and they're learning and they're adjusting to this diversity that we have in our world.
Well, with all this talk about assimilation then and Monica, will the young lead the older ones to maybe more understanding and all?
We hope so. We really hope so. I think by them having these kind of programs, they empower the students, the migrant, the immigrant students, Spanish-speaking students, that they have a voice and it matters and they feel important that we care. And I really hope that they set a good example for our future students.
Because we know what the next step is going to be, and that is going to be more formal representation in the power structure
right.
of the county.
Right.
And John, you got the history on this. You know what happened as more African-American folks, since that was the majority of the population in Gadsden County, said, hey, why don't we have more of a voice?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we do in the journalism class, we do talk some politics, and we have talked about some of the history, like the 2000 election and just how Florida really kind of had a major impact in that election. And, you know, a lot of the kids really didn't know much about that. Of course, you know, a lot of them probably weren't around, were so little that they didn't really know much about it. And, you know, they're getting pretty interested in it. One of the editions of the newspaper that I was proudest of was a few years ago when President Obama won election. We did an inauguration edition. And one of the things that was really kind of neat was I picked a freshman student who later ended up being valedictorian, Brandy Pringley, really smart young lady. And I said, we need to imagine all the people that we would like to have at this inauguration if we could do it. So we had Jackie Robinson. We had Frederick Douglass. We had Lincoln. You know, we had all these different people. We found a way to Photoshop all these historic folks into a picture from the inauguration. It actually was Lyndon Johnson's inauguration, but we just put Obama in place of him with Photoshop. And we did a story where the student went around to all the different teachers. I did the Jackie Robinson quotes, what I thought he would have said. And it was really kind of a neat thing. And, you know, you could just see these kids getting engaged and involved in politics and starting to look at their world in a little different way. And we've tried to continue that. I think it's important.
A good first step here is we, again, look at what's going on, not just in Gadsden County, but the larger
right.
American community now, because we, and boy, talk about the times they were a change, and thank you, Bob Dylan.
Yeah, there you go.
They definitely, definitely are. So for your classes, what are some of the beyond the language lesson plans that you have on that one? What other things can you bring to the kids, Maria, to continue fostering this type of cultural appreciation?
Technology helps a lot. Okay, and one of the things that we do at the beginning of the year is for them to, to research about other countries so that they know that they're not, what else is out there. And me, as a matter of fact, this is very personal for me as well, because as I'm Latina, but I'm also African-American. And one thing that many people do not realize is that they're black somewhere else. It's not just here in the United States. And there are African-American people that, all throughout the world. We're everywhere. But when it comes to the Hispanic culture, you don't realize that, there are African-American who are Mexicans. There
yes.
are black Mexicans. There are black Peruvians. There are blacks in Guatemala. There are blacks everywhere. And, in my school, being that it's, mostly African-American, this is one thing that the students just baffles them. It's like, that's wow. They didn't realize this. So when they do their research about the 21 African, the 21 Latin American countries, they realize this. You're not alone there. There are other people like you all over the world. So, and then with the Latinos, the Hispanic students, they make a connection within themselves and with their parents' culture as well when they do this research about other countries and,
Yeah, when we ask about any of these things, a simple reply is, it's complicated.
Yeah. It is.
And we've tried to impress upon them, complicated is good, because things aren't simple. Things are complicated. You have to really look at all these issues. You have to kind of weigh both sides of it. That's part of critical thinking. And that's one of the things, this particular generation needs to work on. Every college in the world says that. And so that's something as teachers, we try to teach them critical thinking. We're doing Macbeth in my class right now. So I had them write at this point of the play, I think we're in Act 3, who's worse, Lady Macbeth or Macbeth? So they had to kind of weigh, on the one hand, That's critical thinking. I try to do that with music. We've done it with all kinds of different things, and I think that's important. And, you know, bringing in these other cultures with different values, you know, some of their responses are interesting.
It really breaks down an awful lot of the prejudices, the typecasting that we are all subject to when you realize just how complex these interconnections are. It's not just country of origin. It's not just a racial divide. We have to start treating people like individuals.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a scary thought, guys.
Yeah.
How do we do that?
Well, the kids are amazed when I tell them, you know, I grew up in New Hampshire, and in my high school, we had two black kids. Two. One of them was a boxer who I knew, a guy named Ivory Smallwood, and I was kind of friends with him because I was interested in boxing a little bit. And then a basketball player named Tony Perkins, who I really didn't know, but, I mean, he was a good basketball player. But that was it.
That situation is about as alien as it comes in a place
so
like this.
So when I came to Gadsden County, you know, and I walk into a classroom and every single face in there is black, I mean, it's a different experience for sure.
We're going to continue the discussion on the other side of this break, rapidly bearing down on us here on Perspectives. Love to hear from you, though. 414-1234 with an 850 designation in front of that, or send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. Talking diversity, particularly in our neighboring county of Gadsden. We'll be right back.
That's about the event.
We are back on Perspectives. Cultural exchange event, exactly that. A headline from the Gadsden County Gazette dated May 20th, 2019. John Nagowski, you had something to do with this, although it was Emily Elias who was the featured writer on this particular piece.
She was there. She had a great time, and she's a good student. And I said, all right, Emily, let's talk to some folks, and let's see what you can come up with. And she talked to Miss DiOlio. She talked to a few students and did a really nice job. I took a few pictures when I was there. Catching Marie on stage, telling everybody where to go and what to do.
I love the teaser lead that she put here. Gadsden County High School consists of many cultures, and though we go to school together, we're still pretty divided. Yep. I love that.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So since you were quoted in this, Ms. Maria, how do you continue to break down those barriers? Now that you've had this very successful cultural exchange within the scholastic environment, how do you push that down the road?
Well, we talked about empowering the students. We empowered the students. This is a student-driven project. So now that they have seen that this is possible to do, you know, that we did it, and it was a wonderful event this year, they're really pretty excited about doing this again next year. And now that we know what to do, what not to do, you know, they've learned. It's a learning experience. So they have come to me and said, yeah, we definitely have to do this, but it's a student-driven affair. And they're the ones who are going to be doing this again next year.
Yeah.
We want you to come out, Tom, too. We'll save some food for you and everything. So
please do. I would love to be there. I will bring along the recorder because I know this is going to be a sound-rich environment here.
Yes,
particularly with the many varieties of music. And again, you can't just say, oh, that's Hispanic music. No. You want to subdivide that about 50 different ways, I think you might be just about there because there are so many influences and different strains of dance and art and music that you can pull from this.
And that's exactly right. That's what Maria had. Yeah, dances from all kinds of countries, right?
In the event, you know, with the performances, that was one of the points, you know, and with the food, it's like to try something different. You know, as a matter of fact, we had it in the PowerPoint, try something different when it came to the food. So Latinos who have not had, for instance, you know, something African-American or, you know, something from the American culture, they could help themselves to that night. Same thing with Americans who have not tried something from El Salvador or, you know, so everybody found that the food was delicious, you know. So same thing with the performances, you know, seeing the quinceañera. What was the quinceañera all about? That was just beautiful. That's how we started. And then the hip-hop you know, the progression of hip hop, you know, so people can relate to that because music brings us together, food brings us together, you know, that's part of culture everywhere you go. So hopefully next year the students will definitely know how to continue this tradition.
There was a real sense of community, which was, I think, you know, her goal just in talking with her, you know, last year and knowing her and stuff. That was something she really wanted to see for the kids to see. This is a community. And we made it happen. So it was pretty neat.
So, Monica, for the rest of the families, though, does that help to, again, get them more involved, the grown-ups of these kids? Because the kids are kind of leading the way on this whole thing.
When it comes to Hispanic families supporting their children, they do support their children in this. And they're happy that they're participating, that they're doing something, that they're letting everybody else know, learn more about their culture. Yes, the parents do. To support.
Because as we know, there is always such a sense of isolation. You move from your own country to a different land, and it's you just want to keep your head down, do what you have to do, and there are enough challenges anyway, but does this create more of a general sense of community, do you think?
I think it does.
Okay, well then, hate to say it, but mission accomplished. This is, you're moving in the right direction on this.
Thanks. Yep. It was a great first step. I don't think it could have gone much better. I could have got some of the food. I didn't get a chance to get it, but I'll make sure I get that next time.
Yeah, who does all the cooking? Is that the kids too? Or
actually, yeah, the kids were the ones because what we did when we first, Mr. Rodier and I were the advisors. And like we said, we empowered the students to do this. So they broke up in different subcommittees, okay, who's going to be taking care of the food. So you had the subcommittee for the food. And these were all the students talk about what kind of food to bring in. And then the performers, you know, who is going to be performing, that was the students who decided what type of numbers they were going to be doing. Same thing with the art, you know, same thing with the artifacts that were going to be brought in. So all this stuff were the students putting everything together. We broke up in, they broke up in five different subcommittees to put all this and plan this together.
Mr. Rodier even danced.
Mm-hmm. Something just struck me here that I'm thinking, we have curricula for all manner of instructional options in this country, whether it's STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, whether it's Maria language arts, whether it's entrepreneurship, you got all this stuff that's out there. How many templates do you have to help schools like Gadsden High go through a cultural understanding and diversity celebration thing? I see you jumping in, Maria.
Multiculturalism is a requirement in all public schools, okay, in our nation, okay? But we have an issue when it comes to diversity in our public schools, in our institutions. We tend to view diversity in education as a weakness. And let me explain that. We tend to look at it as a deficit rather than an asset. Okay, or rather as an advantage or a strength.
A problem to be overcome.
Yes, diversity includes race, ethnicity, ability, okay, and socioeconomic status, right? We tend to say my school is 90% free and reduced lunch, or my school is this certain percent Hispanic, or even that we have this percent of exceptional students or ESOL students. Those are students who are learning English, et cetera. And in my experience, in my 14 years as a teacher, is that this is always looked at as a negative, as a deficit, when in reality, multiculturalism and diversity gives us the very unique opportunity for real inclusion. And this is something that in education today in our nation, everybody should be looking at.
Yeah, but you guys have found at least the beginning of the keys to success in this.
Been there. It's just that we don't use it as much as we should.
Yeah, but how do you take this to a larger audience? It's working at Gadsden High. I bet there are many other schools that are, again, viewing this as, oh, a problem. This is something we must solve instead of something we must celebrate, something we must help to promote for the benefit of the students and the community at large.
Well, it's about understanding. I mean, that's what it comes down to, is just, you know, instead of, as you said, you know, looking at somebody as somebody from Poland or somebody from Spain or whatever. You know, we're all here and we're all working in the same place, you know, at our school. We're all trying to do the same thing. So, you know, it's a strength, really. We've talked about, you know, learning Spanish, the advantage of that. I mean, I took Spanish in college, and I remember almost none of it now, sadly. I find that out when I call some of my students' parents.
I think Maria can help you here with this.
Yeah,
I
don't know. We've done that. Can you call this mother for me? You know,
the beauty at our school is that the students want to know. The students are the ones driving this. The students want to talk to each other. You know, and I think that's one thing that is helping us.
A student design diversity curriculum, though. I'm just, you know, we got Department of Education right down the street here, guys. And to package this and say, these are some things that are working for us. Right. Maybe this could help some other schools as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, because the attitude seems to be, again, different, as you said, Maria, from what you're seeing at a lot of other places where, mm-hmm. Pity us. Look at all these special needs students mm-hmm. we have. And yet this can be an asset, too.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I just think this one strength, I think, of this generation of students that I'm seeing, you know, and I've been teaching for a while now, so I'm seeing things change. They are way more accepting than, you know, certainly my generation. And, you know, I think these last maybe 10 years, 5, 10 years, whatever, I think things have changed and they're more accepting. Plus, you know, with the influx that we've had at our school, which is considerable over the last few years, you know, they've seen, geez, we're all part of this.
And we also have,
to keep going.
We also have to give credit, of course, to our principal, Mrs. Pamela Jones. She's a woman of vision. She's open to ideas. And she has many proactive plans for the school next year. This is her first year as a full-fledged principal. She's been around as an AP for a while, but she's a woman of vision. And
she was there that night with a smile on her face.
Yes, yeah, so we thank her for supporting us on this as well.
Well, that certainly helps, because anybody who has been through a massive school consolidation, as has Gadsden County, mm-hmm. and the legacy hurt feelings and the impression that something precious has been lost in our history and all that. That is enough of a challenge right there, plus the change in demographics in the student population and the community population to deal with. That's pretty impressive, guys.
Well, it's been an interesting couple of years, that's for sure.
Well, what do you think as far as the rest of the going forward, if we could, Monica, as far as the immigrant community, which we, let's just say, immigrant, they're here. They're us. They're our neighbors. They're hopefully our friends at some point there. What else do you see developing in the Gadsden County area to develop that sense of community with more and more families kind of weighing in on these sorts of efforts? Do you see that happening?
I do see it happening.
And what can the community at large do to help that, though? You know, regardless of racial or ethnic background or that sort of thing. Maybe, I don't know. We have a school cultural diversity celebration. Maybe one in the larger community. I've seen some towns do that.
We do. We as the consortium, we also have a little bit of Mexico, and we just keep supporting whatever's keep coming into our county.
Okay, yeah, because, again, music and food, that always works.
And there is, I made contact with this particular lady. Her name is Erica Rojas. And she, for some years now, she has tried to organize something. As a matter of fact, she has the organization. It's called Hola Tallahassee and Hola Gadsden. You've heard of her,
I've
Monica? Okay,
it.
And she has try also to bring the community together through that organization. So she's active with that as well. There are people who want to do this. So as long as we keep the communication open among the groups.
They do have, when you say hola, Tallahassee, yes, they do have some cultural events one time a year where different countries will do a performance, a song, bring food, and they gather. I think it's at, it's not Tampa.
One of the parks in Gaston County.
They actually have one here in Tallahassee, too.
Okay, yeah, because she has Hola Tallahassee and Hola Gaston. So, in other words, they're people who are interested in bringing the communities
unity
together through,
yes,
cultural events.
Yeah, that'd be great to see that. The one consortium that we know with the Asian American society, whether it's the Philippines or China or Japan, those folks all got together and they have a big blowout every October down in downtown Tallahassee. But to do the same thing with the multitude of Hispanic cultures that we have, to, again, the food.
That, well, you know,
that's
plus,
worth the price of admission right there, and it's always free. So.
Plus these high school students, you know, they're citizens. You know, they're getting out of school, they're getting jobs, they're going in the service, they're going to college, you know, whatever they're doing, they're here. And, you know, we hope that they see the value of this. And politically, you know, we've talked about that as well, so that they realize that they have a voice and they have a stake in this. And it's only going to benefit everybody for them to be involved. So, you know, just like Marie's encouraged them to be empowered, you know, in school, when they're out of school, well, it doesn't stop. You know, you're still a citizen. You've got a stake in this country.
And we saw the same thing happen in some other communities. We had talked about this, John, many, many years ago. We relocated for about a year and a half to San Antonio, which is predominantly Hispanic. And that community successfully made that transition. And everyone gets along. And again, Party Central.
Yeah.
You know, Battle of Flowers Parade. That's just an insane celebration.
Remember the
there.
Alamo, baby.
Yeah, yeah. No, forget the Alamo, man. We're going to go to El Mercado, and we're going to get down with the rest of the folks and have a wonderful time. That is, you can't go more than a week without having some kind of wild celebration in San Antonio. So.
That's amazing. The first time I went there, I had won some award for my writing, and they flew us to San Antonio for the banquet. And I was a big Davy Crockett fan as a kid. I guess I'm giving my age away here, but huge Davy Crockett fan. So I said, I got to see the Alamo. I got to see the Alamo. So the hotel I was in, I went to the desk as soon as I got there. And I said, where can I rent a car? I want to go see the Alamo. And the lady started laughing. And I said, why are you laughing? She said, turn around. And there it was right behind me.
Very tiny.
So you stayed
right in the middle of the city.
In other words, you stayed at the Hyatt because it's
right
across.
There, right there. Yeah, right
San Antonio is a beautiful city.
Yeah. So, but you look at the Alamo and say, that's as big as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks so much bigger in the John Wayne movie.
Yes,
it's remarkable.
It did.
But again, a region that was able to make a very wrenching cultural and political transition with a minimum of muss and fuss. And I guess that's a template we can also hope for Gadsden County and the country as a whole as we go through this, because it is not just here. Mm. It is everywhere.
It really is.
Yeah, and it's something to look forward to. So it'll soon be a summer break for you, Mr. Nagowski.
We're only 2 weeks of school left, but we're not counting them, of course.
Not counting them. So any big plans for the summer?
Well, I'm going to be going to an AP training for teaching AP language and composition. I haven't been to one for a few years, so I'm going to be going to that. My son's playing minor league baseball. He's in AAA with the St. Louis Cardinals, so I'm spending a lot of time at the ballpark and watching games there. And
sacrifices must be made, John.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do, you know. So it'll be
Maria,
fun.
What about you?
Visiting family in South Florida.
Oh, so wonderful. I hope you have a wonderful trip
there.
And how about you, Monica? What's up for you?
We will be having our migrant summer school, migrant/ESL summer school. So I will be there.
And where's that going to be?
That is in Quincy.
Uh-huh.
And we have the summer school to help the children, the ESL students who are falling behind or need extra help. And we focus on the migrant students at that time. We try to have a summer school so they can have somewhere for them to come instead of going to the fields with the parents.
That is a much preferred opportunity for them as well.
And so that's where I'll be.
That is terrific. Folks, it has been a great discussion. We really appreciate your coming by. And to you, Monica Grimaldo and Maria Diolio and John Nagowski, we appreciate your participation in this edition of Perspectives here on WFSU.
Thank you so much, Tom.
A quick reminder of what is ahead on our programming. We are going to be going into some summertime blockbusters next week. The Tallahassee Film Society is celebrating its 20th anniversary, and we'll be part of that celebration in advance of their upcoming Animation Festival. These are some things you may not catch at the multiplex, so we're going to be talking about that and what lies ahead for those folks. Perspectives, produced by WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee. Evan Rossi pushing the buttons today. Lydell Rawls on all the interconnects. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Have yourself a great week, and we will chat again next week right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.